no role plays, just real. Chris and Lorenzo share four decades of combined experience to help you become a more effective leader.
We've never really, as a workforce, spent a lot of time on making sure we're developing good leaders.
We'll be able to share stories, experience, mistakes, failures, successes.
This is Hacking Your Leadership.
Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And Lorenzo, on this episode, I want to talk about something that happened to me recently that was kind of a serendipitous moment. You ever have one of those moments where you hear or see exactly what you needed to hear or see right in the right moment, and it kind of like brought clarity to something that maybe you were struggling with?
Yes, when I don't ignore them. But yes, it has happened from time to time.
True. Usually I ignore them. That is true. Sometimes they're just sometimes they slap you in the face so hard you really have no choice but to at least acknowledge their existence. And then once you do that, it's pretty safe to move forward with it. I heard from a colleague of mine that a company was looking for some of the work that I do in my consulting business. And they, they brought my name up in the conversation, and I thought, oh, that's really cool. And this is a company that I thought would be really cool to work with, to help out. I thought I could do some really good work with them. And the first thing that I did was I thought, all right, what can I do to make myself kind of like more in the front of their mind? What can I do to kind of make this more likely to happen, make this interaction more likely to happen, a potential business deal more likely to happen? And I found myself kind of really stressing out over it for a couple of days, just really thinking like, okay, do I reach out to them directly? Do I send like a pamphlet, or do I send like a digital resume of the companies I've worked with and the work that I've done? And it was just kind of like I was struggling with how to go about doing this, because the fear of missing out on the opportunity with this organization was just really kind of really stuck with me. And I was just scrolling through Twitter, and I saw a tweet on Twitter that had nothing to do with me or anything. It wasn't even a person that I followed. The tweet just said, "Snowmen fall from heaven unassembled. # trust the process." And I thought, It was profound in the moment. Very simple tweet. It had like one like, but it was profound for me, because what it did to me is I thought, okay, wait a minute. There's a reason why my name came up in the conversation already. There's a reason why that happened. This wasn't just the work was needed. Who do I get to do this? Someone asked about me and about the work that I was doing in this context. And sometimes the smart thing to do in a situation like that would be to continue doing what I'm doing, to just do the things that I was doing that got me to a place where a company might ask about me to begin with, as opposed to trying to revamp my entire everything in order to make myself more appealing to this model. And I think, I've had a tendency to do this, and I think other people do too, in this feeling like, okay, what I do right now, the process of things isn't good enough. Let's change it. Let's revamp it. Let's tweak it in the moment. And it's not based on data. It's not based on anything concrete. Just the kind of this knee-jerk emotional reaction. Have you ever found yourself doing this, or stopping yourself from doing it, and had it paid off for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that when I catch myself doing it, it's typically like something like that, where there's something that happens that is maybe out of the norm, or something that you weren't expecting to happen. And then you have this overwhelming feeling of like responsibility or thoughts and all, what should I do with this information? How should I act with that? Or what should I do differently? Or how do I make sure that I'm adjusting in the moment? And that's kind of from a leadership standpoint, where I see that happen the most, and where I think people that have had success with it, is typically when people are doing really, really good work, and then somebody maybe approaches them about a potential opportunity from a career standpoint and talks to them about that, or says, hey, have you thought about this? And then all of a sudden they're just like, oh, I could do that. I had, it's like this whole reaction of, well, like, what do I do now? And well, if I'm going to do that, then I probably need to do this. And they tend up like almost kind of transforming themselves and the work they're doing, and questioning everything they've done, and thinking about this potential opportunity, as opposed to just maintaining, to your point, the continuing work. And I think those that get successful when those things are added into the mix are the ones who are like, okay, well, that's interesting. I hadn't really considered that. Maybe I will consider it now. Let me continue with what I'm doing. because that's actually what brought me to the table. That's actually what maybe has created this opportunity for me. And I'll just keep doing that. And then what I'll do though is I'll go and I'll maybe ask around, or I'll seek guidance, or you know, I'll talk to some of my mentors to say like, hey, here's something that was brought to me. You know, what do you suggest? What are your thoughts on this? You know what I mean? What do you think that I should be considering or doing? And they have an approach to it that is more calculated. It's calmer. It's more consistent, and it's not that knee jerk reaction. It's not that, you know, which again, like it's tough because human nature is excitement. Human nature is curiosity. Human nature is, oh my gosh, what does this mean? And what do I have to do now? Or is this an opportunity? Is this the opportunity knocking at the door and am I going to answer it or not? Like that is human nature. But I think those that really take their time with it and are kind of like sit within themselves have the most success on the other side of these types of interactions.
Yeah, I like what you said about guidance, because that methodical approach to it, to incorporating data into whatever decision that gets made. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, data isn't all that matters. Like there is an emotional component to some of these things, and that's fine, but it's when the emotion takes precedent over whatever the data is that leads you to do certain things that you wouldn't normally do, I think that's when it can become problematic. And so, you know, just like I know that when I'm making a business decision around just my day-to-day work, it would never be based on emotion alone. It would be based on data. I would figure out what the smart move is. I would test it in certain elements. I'd start small and make sure it's working properly before I, you know, you don't just YOLO off a cliff onto something that you just think sounds good in the moment. And that's essentially what this is doing. This is saying, okay, I don't trust that what I've been doing all along is good enough. So I need to do something huge and profound and like make a bold statement. And I think a lot of times people end up causing the demise of whatever that thing was, because it creates the wrong impression in the minds of the people who were looking at you already. It turns you into someone who is more I use spontaneous in a negative at this point, but it really is. It's more spontaneous and less methodical. And when you're looking at somebody for opportunities, you want someone that you can predict. You want predictability. You want someone you can trust. You don't want someone who is erratic or unpredictable, especially if you're taking a chance on somebody. And so I think this kind of methodical incorporation of data really makes a big difference. I was thinking about why we tend to do this. Now, you said it's human nature, and I agree, but I also think there's something about the workforce in general, the way we do things as companies, that can lead to this. And I'll give you an example. If I'm at a company and we're doing really well for 2 or 3 years in a row, and all of a sudden there's an economic downturn, maybe you have 1 or 2 quarters in a row where the results not quite so good. And then what happens? Well, you know, people come down from the message from on high comes down about the elements of the business that we're cutting or trimming or, you know, trying to be more fiscally conscious about. And it never fails that some of those things that get cut end up causing more harm that they're not there anymore than what the money was being spent on them. And I've always thought when that happens, you know, well, if we're cutting this now, are you saying that it's not needed? Because if it's not needed, then why did we pay for it for the last 3 years? And if it was needed for the last 3 years, why is it all of a sudden no longer needed now just because we're in a bit of an economic downturn? If you are running not lean, but not like a glutton, if you're just running like you're supposed to be running, you're doing consistent evaluation of the processes and the things that you do and the money you're spending all the time, not based on what the good economic cycle is or the bad, but what is right for the business, then there really shouldn't be much, you know, upheaval when it comes to a 1 or 2 quarters of downturn or 1 or 2 quarters of upturn. You shouldn't just start, you know, flying your employees first class everywhere just because you had a great quarter or a great year. That's an obvious one. So on the flip side, why would you force 8 of them to share a bed in a hotel room when you experience 2 economic quarters of downturn? It's the exact same thing. So this kind of like methodical approach to the data and trusting the process is what will make sure that you're making the decisions right all along, and that you're focusing on the things that that got you to that opportunity will be the things you continue to focus on, as opposed to throwing things out the window, just all of a sudden thinking that what you were doing wasn't right all along.
Yeah, and I'll give you a flip side example of that, you know, outside of the maybe when the business takes a downturn, but when, you know, having spent my entire career in retail leadership, sometimes you have these new hot technologies, these new things that come out, and there's a lot of hype behind them. There's a lot of opportunity from a business standpoint to, you know, to make a good amount of profit with them. So, you know, think back to the years before you had iPads that had built-in cellular, and before you would use your phone as an internet tether to your computer. And we had these things in the industry called air cards, which was basically the ability to plug into a laptop or to sync with a laptop, internet access onto your computer wherever you go. And like I said, I know nowadays most of the technology is built into the technology. But at the time, those were the heydays of cellular phones and carrier contracts and all these types of things. And this was kind of a disruptive thing. Now, the carriers saw this as an opportunity to not only have somebody maybe have their device on their network as a cell phone, but now we could basically have a second cell phone on their account because they're going to use this for their other pieces of technology to get them onto the internet. So the carriers were providing a good amount of marketing dollars behind companies to go out and sell these air cards and take them out into the world. And I remember that in the industry. And I remember a lot of organizations and a lot of teams and a lot of places like all of a sudden flipped everything upside down, and that's all that they were talking about. When if you were coming in to purchase a computer for your home or for your business, if you were buying technology that you needed, the first thing you would hear about constantly was its connectivity to the internet and these air cards and get you on a contract and get you on this and prepaid or this type. And all of these things, to your point, like it was thrown out of the window around like, you know, customer engagement, around asking questions to figure out and build value in products that we have. And I saw a lot of teams struggle with that because they took that thing, they put all the effort into it, and they ended up not having a great customer experience. They ended up losing some of the muscle they had built in regards to customer experience and offering things that make sense for a customer regardless of what they were. And I saw a lot of teams after that hype kind of fell off, and after they kind of, you know, maybe over time, that's all they focused on, they lost a lot of those core behaviors and those core things that allowed them to be a really engaging team or store or organization when it comes to buying technology and sales and stuff like that. And so I saw it destroy, quite honestly, a lot of cultures. And I think it also put a lot of leaders in a space where they lost kind of the trust. They lost the even-keeled commitment to building, developing talent, and also offering a consistent experience for customers. And that led to, over time, you know, not great culture and not great results as an output of having so much quick focus and intensity around trying to take advantage of this one thing from a profitability standpoint. And, you know, for those that had success in that space, they took the time to understand and spend time with their teams to realize how is this technology something that can be very helpful to customers, and where does it fit in your customer experience? Where does it fit in your questioning? Where does it fit in how you offer this as another means of technology access for customers that are shopping within your stores?
Right, right. And I'm sure there are teams who really went all in the way you're talking about, and their performance and their numbers were probably better than some of the ones that just did the slow and consistent methodical ways. They were probably better for a year or two. But then what price did they pay in terms of what they lost? And I think back to the, Simon Sinek talks about how we reward leaders in terms of their results. And they'll look at, you know, oh, this person hit their budget, hit their goal, they blew it out of the water. Let's reward them. Even though if you look at over the course of the previous 2, 3, 4 years, it's just a series of ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs. And they just happen to be meeting it this quarter. And they might have another leader who's right alongside them that didn't hit their goals. But if you look at the previous 3 or 4 years, every single quarter is just higher than the one before it by a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here. And it's just a consistent growth, and it's this getting better over time. And yet, because they arbitrarily didn't hit this one number, we decided, oh, that's not good enough, and we don't reward them. I look at this as the exact same thing. It's this idea that, you know, when you reward a culture that says the home run is what matters. Well, batters who only swing for trying to get those home runs, they have very low batting averages because they strike out a lot too. The batting averages are not measured in home runs. They're measured in the total hits. So as long as you get on base, that's great. And so this is the exact same thing. If you are looking at what a person does every single day, if you're looking at those base hits, those singles, doubles, and triples, as opposed to just who's hitting those home runs, I think you're going to get better performance out of those people than the people who just, they might make headlines with whatever they're doing for 1 year or whatnot, but what did they sacrifice in the process? You know, what did they throw out the window in order to kind of, you know, go all in on one thing? And when they should have done is trust the process, whatever they're doing, that built up the culture of the team, whether it be sales skills or customer focus or leadership skills, all those things that got you the successes that you were in the moment, for you to think they all of a sudden don't matter because of something that might be fleeting, I think, first of all, it means you don't trust yourself. You don't trust in the work that you've already done. And it means that your team is going to see that lack of trust also, and they're going to think you don't trust them. And so at all costs, when you're doing these things, really, really think about what did you do to get you to a place? And if you find yourself kind of walking away from those things because you think all of a sudden something in the moment sounds better, I think that involves that requires some really strong self kind of introspection to think what am I giving up here? Because are there circumstances where the industry or the environment or the culture changes so much that it really does require a revamping of something big? Absolutely. But it is never done on a whim. It's never done in this kind of knee-jerk moment. If it does require that, I mean, that's got to be something that is done through the course of guidance and conversations with, like you said, mentors and peers, and it's done over the course of time, because those ripping the Band-Aid off changes, they just never sit well with your teams, and it can never lead to the positive outcomes in the long term.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to this episode's one-minute hack. But first, a few words from our sponsors.
The one-minute hack.
All right, for this episode's one-minute hack, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down something that you're currently being asked to do that might be outside the norm of your normal day-to-day job. Something that is new, something that is like kind of an in-the-moment, this is something we have to pivot towards or change in the course of business. Or if you're in the middle of something right now, maybe it was asked of you in the last 6 months or a year, write that down. Underneath that, I want you to write down a list of skills that you and your team have that will help you accomplish that ask that's being asked of you and your team. I want you to write down then a list of skills that you would need to get it done that you don't currently have. And then finally, I want you to write down how those skills that you need may be at odds with the ones you already have. Meaning, is what you're being asked to do going to headbutt against the things that you already do well? Once you have the answers to those questions, it becomes imperative on you, the leader, to decide what of those items become necessary in the short term, but at the expense of the long term, and whether or not it is better to take maybe a little bit longer to accomplish what you're looking to get done that might be an in the moment or a fleeting ask, but that might be at the expense of your long-term success as a team. Because slow and steady oftentimes does win the race. We do need to react in the moment for some things, but remember, as that tweet said, trust the process, because your process is good already, so trust in it.
Yeah, I think it's a great one to hack, and a reminder that, you know, sometimes there are things that need to get done immediately, and sometimes we don't have all the information, and sometimes the expectation is kind of an immediate execution of whatever the strategy is. We get that. A lot of times, though, the urgency and the immediacy of something, we don't necessarily question or consider. And that's where we're really talking about here, is like, what are the potential long-term impacts in a negative standpoint if you are not considering what exactly is being asked, and how does it play into what you're already doing? And as you mentioned, like, the trusting of the process is the fact that you are truly believing in what you have done so far to have the success, and doubling down in that space to make sure that you are not adding in something that could destroy what you've worked so hard to accomplish.
Yeah, I agree. And then lastly, always remember that immediate results and immediate action are not the same thing. And oftentimes when leaders are asked to get something done right away, or given a sense of urgency around something, it might seem like what is being given is a sense of urgency around a result, when really what it is a sense of urgency around action. Some type of action that shows you're working towards something. And I can't think of very many organizations that wouldn't rather have a kind of a longer lead time to get somewhere with lasting results over a shorter lead time to get somewhere, but results that are fleeting or that hurt the culture of the organization and the long-term, you know, prospects of success going forward.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll talk to you all next time.